This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Just want to make sure you all can hear me before I continue. So if you can just give me... Okay, perfect. الحمد لله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين. Today inshallah from the session of Quranic Pearls we will be looking at an ayah from Juz number 28 and the topic is the importance of sadaqah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Munafiqun, ayah number 10, وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ فَيَقُولَ رَبِّ لَوْ لَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ فَأَصَّدَّقَ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. And spend in the way of Allah from what we have provided you before death approaches one of you. And he says, my Lord, if only you would delay me for a brief term, so I would give charity and be among the righteous. Whatever that a person owns in this life has been given to them by Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah is the one who has commanded us that we give to others from what he has given us. That we do hoard or save everything for later. Rather, we spend it. And we spend it not just on ourselves, but on others as well. We give the right of the creation. And a person with a living heart will never be satisfied that they're eating themselves while those around them go hungry. That their own children are earning a good education while the children of their relatives are ignorant, that they have access to comforts and luxuries of this life, but others are struggling for basic necessities. So Islam wants from us that we become givers, that in every situation and in every circumstance, we give sadaqah. We desire good for others. We like for others what we like for ourselves. That we help others in their time of need and we bring them out of difficulty. And remember, when we do that, in reality, we are investing in ourselves. We are becoming recipients of good rewards. We are gathering happiness for ourselves for eternity. And the fact is that whatever we have, ultimately, we are going to leave it here. We're not going to take it with us in our graves. So before our wealth, our belongings are taken away from us, let us become of those people who give it willingly, those people who become beneficial to others, so that we are not of those who regret at the time of death, that, oh Lord, just give me some more time so that I can give charity and I can be of those who are righteous. So in this ayah, we see that the believers are being addressed, that all people who believe in Allah and in His Messenger, give from whatever that Allah has given you. وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. Give from what Allah has given you and give it without delay. Spend in good ways before death comes to you, before the signs of death appear before you. Otherwise, with great regret, you will have to say at the time of your death that, O Lord, why did you not give me more time? رَبِّ لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ, so that I could have given some charity and I could be among the pious. So before that time comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is advising us over here that وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ, O you who believe, before your death comes, before you face the angel of death, spend from what Allah has given you. And this includes two kinds of spendings. The first type is nafaqat wajiba, meaning that which is obligatory on a person to spend. So for example, zakat is something that we have to give. This is an obligation, kafara, an expiation for, you know, certain sins. Then that is also something that we have to give. And likewise, spending on one's dependents. Like for example, a man is required to spend on his family, on his children, on his wife. So these are nafaqat wajiba, what is obligatory on a person to spend. And this is included in the command, وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. But in addition to that, this also includes nafaqat mustahabba, meaning those spendings that a person is encouraged to make, meaning what a person is encouraged to give. So for example, giving in good causes, in good works, to those in need, in the way of Allah, spending in order to perform any good deed. So obligatory zakat, voluntary charity, and spending in good works is all included in this. وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. And look at the beauty. We haven't been told that give everything that we have given you. Rather, it has been said, مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ, from what we have provided you. So first of all, this means that you are only responsible to spend from what Allah has given you. So if you do not have something, you are not required to give of it. And secondly, this means that spend from what Allah has given you, meaning you are not required to give everything away, but to spend some of it. And this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and the ease that He has given to His slaves, because our religion is easy. And remember that giving is actually a form of gratitude. Gratitude to who? To the one who gave us what we have. You see, it has been said, مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ, spend from what we have given you. Meaning, Allah has been generous with you. Aren't you going to be thankful for the gifts that He has given you? So spend from what Allah has given you. And you see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you. He did not make you needy of others, dependent on others. So as gratitude, give, spend for the cause of Allah, spend for the sake of Allah, spend in obedience to Allah. And there's urgency over here, that give before it's too late. Give min qabli an ya'tiya ahadakumul maut, before death comes to one of you. And this is what the hypocrite wishes for at the time of death. That فَيَقُولَ رَبِّ لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ, that, oh my Lord, why did you not give me more time? Please give me more time. Because you see, the munafiq, the hypocrite, keeps delaying and keeps procrastinating doing good things. But remember, when the angel of death appears, then the angel of death leaves with the soul. So no pleading and no begging is going to defer the time of death. So the main lesson over here is that we should not delay in doing good things. We should not delay in giving charity. Today we have health. We don't know what state we will be in tomorrow. Today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us wealth. Tomorrow we don't know what our condition will be. Today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the ability to think, to decide. So let us make use of these faculties, because these are blessings through which we are able to earn good deeds. Think about it. When we are able to think clearly, our hands are functioning, our tongue is functioning, only then can we give sadaqah. When a person is overcome by illness, then they're barely able to take care of themselves. They're barely able to remain conscious. Then how can they think about giving charity at that point? So give before you lose the opportunity. Give before it's too late. Because the one who delays, the one who procrastinates, he will say at the time of death, فَيَقُولَ رَبِّي لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ, that, O Lord, why did you not delay me for some more time? Meaning, Ya Rab, I ask you for a very short extension. Not a long one. Just give me a little bit more time so that I can quickly go and do the things that I delayed. And you see, it has been said over here, أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ. The request is for a very short extension. Why? You know, for example, when you have to submit some homework or some essay, or, you know, you're quickly reaching a deadline and you know that you're not going to be able to submit on time, what do? You ask for an extension. And sometimes you ask for just a day or just a couple of hours. And sometimes we are given that extension and other times we are not given that extension. Remember that at the time of death, there is no more extension, not for an hour, not for half a day, not for a day, not for a week. Right now we have the time. And at the time of death, no more extensions will be given. So the hypocrite says, فَأَصَّدَّقَ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ, that give me some more time, just a short while, so that I can give charity and I can be of the righteous. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah At-Tawbah about the hypocrites, that وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ عَاهَدَ اللَّهَ لَإِنْ آتَانَا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ لَنَصَّدَّقَنَّ وَلَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ, that among them are those who make promises with Allah, that if Allah gives us from His favor, definitely we are going to give charity and definitely we are going to be of the righteous. And this is hypocrisy, that a person says they will give sadaqah when they have such and such and such. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the ability, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the opportunity, they are able to give sadaqah, then they actually don't give it. They delay and they procrastinate. So remember that giving sadaqah removes hypocrisy. Giving charity removes hypocrisy. And delaying charity only increases hypocrisy. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said that this ayah is very hard on the people of Tawheed, on the people who believe in the oneness of Allah, on sincere believers. Because this ayah is a warning and it creates an urgency and it really warns us against delaying good deeds. At-Tabari said that وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ, that give me some more time so that I can be of the righteous, means that give me more time so that I can perform acts of obedience. I can obey you, O Allah, and I can perform the obligations, and that I can perform Hajj. So basically, this person delays doing good things their entire life. And then at the time of death, they're begging for an extension so that they can perform their obligations. So what is meant by وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ is that give me more time so that I can fulfill my obligations. Because the fact is that a person cannot be truly righteous. A person cannot be counted among the صالحين until they perform their obligations. So for example, if a person gives voluntary charity, they give gifts to, you know, their friends, their family, they're very nice to their neighbors, they smile, etc. All of that is great, but they're not truly righteous until they give what they owe Allah. Until they perform salah, they give zakat, they fast in Ramadan, they perform hajj. A person will not be counted among the righteous until they fulfill the condition of fulfilling obligations. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said that when death approaches a person who has wealth, but this person has not given zakat on their wealth, or is able to go for hajj but has not performed hajj yet, then what will happen at the time of death? he will most definitely request a return to the world. And then Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu recited this ayah. So we all need to think about our obligations, that we need to make them a priority. Salah, zakat, our fasts that are obligatory, that we must complete them. And if we're not able to complete them because of our health condition, because we are of those who are exempt, then we must give the fidya. Do not delay that. Do not delay the performance of obligations, because death can come at any moment. And when the time for performing any act of worship comes in, whether it is that we owe zakat or that we have to complete our fasts, then we should perform the obligation at the right time. We should not delay unnecessarily, because otherwise there is regret at the time of death. And remember that death is not delayed from its fixed time. The Prophet ﷺ was asked about the best charity, that what kind of charity is best? And the Prophet ﷺ said that you give charity in a time when you are healthy and you are also close-fisted. You are also haunted by the fear of poverty and you hope to become rich. When you give charity in such a condition, that is the best form of charity. Look at these descriptions, that you give it in a state when you are healthy. You're close-fisted, meaning you are, you know, a little stingy. You are very careful about, you know, what you spend and how much you spend and where you are spending. And at the same time, you are afraid that if you give too much, if you spend too much, you might become poor. And at the same time, you are hopeful that, you know, in the future or very soon, I will have more wealth. So at a time when basically there is uncertainty, all right, that is the time when you give sadaqah, then that sadaqah is the best. And the Prophet ﷺ warned us against delaying charity. He said, you must not defer giving charity until the time that you are about to die. And then you say, this is for so-and-so and that is for so-and-so, because it has already become the possession of so-and-so. Meaning at the time of death, if you say, give this to him, give that to her, well, what's the point? Because very soon, within a few moments, when you leave this world, it is going to become their property anyway. So remember, the time to give charity is before death. At the time of death, it is too late. In a hadith, we learn that one day the Prophet ﷺ put some saliva on his hand. And after putting his finger on it, he said, O son of Adam, how can you escape me when I have created you from this? I perfectly fashioned you and balanced your form. So you walk on the earth wearing two garments, and your footsteps can be heard. And then you gather and collect wealth, and then you hoard it. And when the soul reaches the collarbone, you say, I give such and such in charity. But how is it time now to give charity? Meaning it's too late. So do something before death approaches. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, anfiqu mimma razaqnakum. O you who have believed, spend from what we have provided you, min qabli an ya'tiya yawmun la bay'un fihi, wala khullatun, wala shafa'a. Before a day comes in which there is no trade, and no friendship will help you, and no intercession will help you. So spend before that day comes. Otherwise, there will be immense regret. May Allah protect us. In Surah Al-Mu'minun, ayah 99, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتُ قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. Until when death approaches one of them, he says, Oh my Lord, return me, return me. لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِيمَا تَرَكْتُ. So I may perform righteous deeds which I left. كَلَّا إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا. No way, this is just a word that he is saying. These are empty, hollow words. Because if he was really going to give something, if he was really going to do something righteous, then he would have done it already. Because Allah gave many chances. So it is said over here that وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ فَيَقُولَ رَبِّ لَوْ لَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ فَأَصَّدَّقَ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. So I could give some sadaqah and I could be of the righteous. Ya Allah, give some more time. The question is, what exactly is sadaqah? Remember that the word sadaqah comes from the word sidq, and sidq is truthfulness or sincerity. So giving charity, spending in obedience to Allah, is a sign of truthfulness of faith, meaning it shows that a person is a true believer. This is why hypocrites do not like to give sadaqah, because they're not sincere in their faith. A believer is sincere in his faith, and this is why he gives sadaqah, she gives sadaqah. So sadaqah is basically a way through which we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How? By giving something. And that can be anything. It can be money, it can be gold, it can be silver, it can be a smile, it can be a kind word, it can be a good suggestion. Anything that we give in obedience to Allah, that is sadaqah. And sometimes the word sadaqah is also used to refer to zakat. So for example, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. That people should give sadaqah, which will purify them and it will increase them. And what is meant is that they must give zakat. So when it is said over here, فَأَصَّدَّقَ, then first of all, this includes the giving of zakat. And remember that zakat is enjoined in Islam. It is something mandatory that we have to give. But we have to give it on specific types of wealth. Like for example, on gold or on silver, on produce, fruits and crops, also trade goods and livestock. Sadaqah, on the other hand, is not obligatory on any particular kind of wealth. Sadaqah is left open to you. You can give whatever that you want. There's no specific limit or guideline. You give whatever that you want. And zakat is subject to the condition that one full lunar year should have passed since acquiring the wealth. Meaning, if you have a certain amount of gold, which reaches the minimum threshold, the nisab, and it has been sitting with you for an entire lunar year, then you have to give a certain amount of charity on it. Likewise, if you own land and you know you're into farming, then harvest, you have to give zakat at the time of harvest. Likewise, on animals, also on animals of livestock, a certain type of zakat is given at a certain time. When it comes to sadaqah, then sadaqah, there's no conditions over there. You can give sadaqah anytime. You can give sadaqah every single day. You can give sadaqah in any amount, on any kind of wealth. And also remember that when it comes to zakat, it can only be given to certain types of people. Zakat cannot just be given to anyone. Like for example, a person cannot say that, you know what, I will give zakat to my wife. I will give zakat to my son. You cannot do that. Zakat, the recipients of zakat are very specific people which are mentioned in the Quran. But when it comes to sadaqah, that can be given to anyone. You can give it to your neighbor. You can give it to your family member. You can give it to your friends. You can give it to those in need. And remember that when we are obligated to give zakat, then there is a reason for that. There are objectives of zakat. And Ibn al-Jawzi said that every intelligent person must understand the objectives of zakat. You know, in the month of Ramadan especially, a lot of people, they give zakat at this time. And we give zakat without even realizing what the purpose of zakat is, what the objective of zakat is. And this is why we become, you know, a little stingy, a little small-hearted. We keep thinking, oh, really, do I have to give $1,000? Do I have to give cash? Do I have to give, you know, in this cause? Can I not give, you know, a little less or just to my family? You know, we become worried, and that defeats the purpose of zakat. The objectives of zakat are what? First of all, that a person gives from what they love. And this is a test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing us that are we going to give from what we love? Like, for example, you love your money, you love your cash, right? It's been sitting with you for an entire year, and you're looking forward to increasing your money, and you're looking forward to, you know, go on a vacation, buy a bigger house, buy a newer car. So you love your wealth, you love your gold, you love your jewelry. But then when you have to give zakat from it, this is a test. Are you going to give from what you love, or are you going to become stingy? Secondly, the second objective of zakat is to purify a person from destructive stinginess. The thing is that all of us, you know, we develop some kind of selfishness, some kind of stinginess, some kind of bukhl. But when we give zakat, when we're forced to give, then we fight that stinginess. We're trying to overcome that stinginess. And if we allow stinginess to stay in our hearts, it is incredibly destructive. And the third objective is to show gratitude for the blessing of wealth. That Allah has given me wealth. I have had this amount of wealth for an entire year. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me so much. So zakat is a way of showing gratitude. So a person should keep this in mind, that Allah has given them the wealth that they have, that we are actually the recipients over here. Because sometimes when we're giving zakat, we think that we're giving, you know, we're doing other people a favor. The fact is that it is Allah's favor on us, that He gave us wealth so that we could give from it to others. Because if Allah had not given us wealth, what would we give from? How would we give charity? So remember that first of all, zakat, for as-saddaqah, we must give zakat that is due. It is one of the pillars of Islam. And it is a responsibility that must be carried out. It is a quality of the people of faith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah An-Naml that the Quran is a guidance and a good news for the believers. Who are they? الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ. Those who establish salah and they give zakat. And not giving zakat is resembling the people of kufr and shirk. In Surah Fussilat, ayah 6 and 7, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ, and woe to those who associate partners with Allah. Who are they? الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ. Those who do not give zakat. Meaning, they only spend their wealth on themselves. They don't purify their wealth by spending on others. And we learned that in the Quran, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, women are specifically addressed and they are instructed to give zakat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ahzab, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَ تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى وَأَقِمْنَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتِينَ الزَّكَاةَ. Establish salah and give zakat. A lot of women just rely on their husbands. That, you know what, I don't worry about the wealth that I have, about the gold that I own, about the cash that is sitting. My husband worries about it. Well, you should check, is he actually giving zakat on your gold as well? And he is not obligated to give zakat on your gold, by the way, on the cash that you own. You are supposed to give zakat on the wealth that you own, on the jewelry that you own. So every man and every woman is responsible to give zakat that is due on the wealth that they own. And remember that zakat is actually the right of others, which is mixed with the wealth that Allah has given you. So give others their right. You don't have a right over this wealth. It belongs to other people. وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ. حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ. What does that mean? That this is a known right, meaning that that actually belongs to other people. So you have to give it. And on the Day of Judgment, we are going to be asked about zakat, just as we will be asked about salah. In a hadith, we learned that the first thing a person will be asked about on the Day of Judgment is salah. If it is complete, it will be recorded in full. And if it is deficient, it will be said, see if my slave has any voluntary prayers, and complete his obligatory with his voluntary. And then zakat will be examined in a similar way, and other deeds will also be examined in a similar way. So we will be questioned about it. And we learn that those who do not give zakat that is due will be punished very severely on the Day of Judgment. Before even being admitted into hell, there is punishment in the great gathering, in the hashr. If zakat was payable on livestock, a person will come carrying that animal on his back. If zakat was due on gold or silver, they will be shackled with that gold and silver around their neck. And such gold and silver will actually be heated up in hell, and they will be branded with it. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah At-Tawbah, وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةَ وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. That those people who hoard gold and silver and they do not spend it in the way of Allah, then give them glad tidings of a painful punishment. And remember, hoarded wealth is wealth on which zakat is not given. It doesn't mean that if there's a great amount of wealth, that is a hoard. No, a hoard is wealth on which zakat is not given. And if a person has a little bit of wealth even, and they don't give zakat from that, then that little bit of wealth also becomes a hoard. It is considered a kanz. So the punishment for such people, the painful punishment is يَوْمَ يُحْمَى عَلَيْهَا فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ فَتُكْوَى بِهَا جِبَاهُهُمْ وَجُنُوبُهُمْ وَظُهُورُهُمْ. Allahu Akbar. That gold, that silver, that wealth will be heated up in the fire. And then they will be branded with it. Like imagine a hot metal plate. If that is put on a person's side, on their forehead, on their back, Allahu Akbar, Allahumma ajirna min an-nar. And it will be said, هذا ما كنزتم لأنفسكم. This is what you hoarded for yourselves. This is what you were saving? This is what you wanted to keep all for yourself? Well, this is here now for you. فَذُوقُوا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْنِزُونَ. So taste what you were hoarding. And we learn, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud reported, that a person will not be punished in such a way that a pile of gold coins or silver coins is put on him. Rather, his body will be enlarged so that each coin touches him. Each coin that is heated up in the fire, each piece of jewelry or whatever it was, it's heated up in the fire, and then that person is branded with it. And even the jewelry on which zakat is not given is in fact jewelry of hell, of fire. In a hadith, we learn Asma bint Zayd, she said that my aunt and I came to visit the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we were wearing gold bracelets. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do you give zakat on them? We said, no. He said, do you not fear that Allah should make you wear bracelets of fire? Give zakat on them. And there's many ahadith that give us the same message. So don't think that zakat is only due on the cash that is sitting. Zakat is also due on the gold necklace that you're wearing, the gold bracelets that you have, the gold sets that are sitting in the locker, that are sitting in the jewelry box. You have to give zakat on that. And when we give zakat, there are numerous benefits associated with that. An obvious benefit is that we are performing an obligation. And when we perform an obligation, we draw close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in addition to that, we learned that when a person gives zakat, they will be saved from fear and worry on the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Indeed, those people who believe and do righteous deeds. وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ. And they establish prayer and they give zakat. لَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. They will have their reward near their Lord. وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. And there will be no fear on them, and they will not grieve. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among such people. And such people who perform their obligations, who believe that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the messenger of Allah, and they perform the five daily prayers, and they fast in the month of Ramadan, and pray in the nights of Ramadan, and they give zakat, then such people will be counted among the Siddiqeen and Shuhada on the Day of Judgment. They will be in the company of Siddiqeen and Shuhada. So zakat is something that draws a person near paradise, and it takes a person away from hellfire. And such a person who gives zakat will be admitted into paradise from whichever gate that they want. When it comes to voluntary sadaqah, That is also extremely rewardable, very beneficial. Because sometimes what happens is that we limit ourselves to just giving zakat. Like, for example, in Ramadan, you know, especially in the last 10 nights, you know, we give our zakat. But in addition to that, in addition to zakat, we should also give sadaqah. We should also give voluntary charity, spend in good works. And these days, there's so many opportunities to sponsor students of knowledge, to help feed the people who are hungry, to help orphans, to help build masajid, to help sustain good projects. So we should all think about putting our share in such causes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ قُلِ الْعَفْوَ. And they ask you, what is it that they should spend? Say, they should give the excess, meaning the extra that is sitting with them, right? They should give of that. Or al-afwa also means that which is good, meaning the good wealth that they have, they should spend from it. And remember that everyone must give some form of charity. Some people think that, I don't have a job. I don't have a source of income. And my husband gives charity. I don't. You should also think about giving charity, because the Prophet ﷺ said, عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ صَدَقَةٍ. Every Muslim must give sadaqah. He did not specify that men should give sadaqah. No, every Muslim, adult, child. And sometimes we think, well, I'm still a teenager. I'm still young. I'm still dependent on my parents. You can still give sadaqah. Everyone has to give sadaqah. Even if you are the recipient of zakat, meaning you are on the receiving end, still you must give something. The Prophet ﷺ said that there is sadaqah that is to be given for every joint of the human body. And for every day on which the sun rises, there is a reward of sadaqah. Meaning you must give sadaqah every day. And it is due on every limb of our body. And sadaqah is what we ransom ourselves with. Yahya alayhi salam advised his people. He gathered the Bani Israel and he advised them. And part of the advice that he gave them was that I command you to give sadaqah. And the example of the person who gives sadaqah is that of a man who has been captured by his enemies. And he has been tied up. His hands are tied to his neck. And they come to kill him. But he says, I can ransom myself from you. I can give some wealth to you so that you can set me free. And whatever you ask me, I will give you a little or a lot. So what happens? He ransoms himself by giving his wealth to them. So this is what sadaqah does actually. It ransoms us. It frees us from our troubles, from the consequences of our sins, from worry and grief. Now, if you think about it, you know, when we have wealth, we think that we have, it belongs to us and we can do whatever we want with it. Whereas the fact is that our wealth is that which we have either consumed, as the Prophet ﷺ explained, which we have used up, or that which we have, worn, meaning which we have used in one way or another, or what we have given as charity and sent it forward. Because whatever we don't use and whatever we don't give in sadaqah, meaning it's just with us right now, then what's going to happen? One day, it's going to become the property of someone else, right? It's not actually going to stay with us forever. We learned that Al-Ahnaf saw a dirham in the hand of a man and he asked him, whose is it? He said, it's mine. He said, it cannot be truly yours until you use it for something rewardable. Meaning when you use it, when you spend it in something rewardable, then it will actually belong to you. And then he said, أَنْتَ لِلْمَالِ إِذَا أَمْسَكْتَهُ وَإِذَا أَنْفَقْتَهُ فَالْمَالُ لَكَ. That you belong to your wealth for as long as you withhold it. Because as long as you keep your money, you withhold your money, you are basically serving your money, right? You are serving it, you are guarding it, you are protecting it, you are doing something to take care of it. So it's as though your money owns you. But when you spend it is when your wealth belongs to you. Then you have truly made it yours. Because your wealth will benefit you when you spend it. When you, for example, if you have money sitting in the bank, what good is it? Nothing. But when you spend it, for example, to pay for fees, you spend it to buy food, you spend it to buy clothes, you spend it in charity, that's when you truly derive benefit from it. Now, what is the benefit of giving sadaqah? We learned that out of all the different good deeds, sadaqah is one of the best. And we learned in a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said that purchase yourselves through the wealth that Allah has given you. So if one of you feels stingy, meaning he doesn't like to give, then he should begin with himself and spend on himself and eat and wear from what Allah has given him. Because when you develop the habit of spending, giving, and you begin with yourself, then one day it will be easier for you to spend on others as well. So spend, don't just keep, don't just hold on to your wealth. And remember that sadaqah is an expiation. It erases our sins. In a hadith, we learn that a man's afflictions, meaning a man's fitna, their wrong, a person's sins in regard to his wife, because the people who are closest to us suffer the most at our hands. So a man's sins concerning his wife, concerning his children and neighbors are expiated by his prayers, his charity, and his enjoining what is right. So when you give sadaqah, you erase your sins. And sadaqah is very heavy on the shaitan. As-shaytanu ya'idukumul al-faqra. Shaitan does not like us to give sadaqah at all. He threatens us, he frightens us that when you give sadaqah, you will have less, you will have poor. And this is why it's so important that we overcome that fear and we give sadaqah anyway. And we learn in a hadith that when a person gives sadaqah, he breaks the jaws of 70 devils. And you fight 70 shayateen in order to give sadaqah. Because when you're giving sadaqah, 70 shayateen come to stop you, to hold you back. And other benefits of giving sadaqah, that first of all, sadaqah never reduces wealth. It is Allah's promise that وَيُرْبِ الصَّدَقَاتِ Allah causes charities to grow. The Prophet ﷺ said, مَا نَقَصَتْ صَدَقَةٌ مِّن مَالٍ No charity ever decreased any wealth. Meaning, why feel afraid? When you give sadaqah, you are actually increasing your wealth because you get more from Allah. إِنَّ الْمُصَّدِّقِينَ وَالْمُصَّدِّقَاتِ وَأَقْرَضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا يُضَاعَفُ لَهُمْ It will be multiplied for them, not just their wealth, not just their rewards, but also their wealth will be multiplied for them. And we learned that when a person gives sadaqah, which is even of a date fruit, right? And it's given from honest earnings and it's given for the sake of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes it to grow just as a baby horse grows. Right? Until that one date becomes the size of a mountain or even greater. Sadaqah is a cure. Meaning, if we are suffering from illness, any kind of illness, sadaqah is a means of bringing healing. And it also brings ease. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى As for he who gives and fears Allah, وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى And believes in the best reward, فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى We will ease him toward ease. Allah will create ease for you when you give charity. In a narration we learned, treat your ill through sadaqah. Meaning when people are ill, when people are sick in your family, amongst your friends, then part of your treatment plan should be to give sadaqah. You know, the author of Mustadrak Hakim, this is a well-known book of hadith. So the collector of this book of hadith, Abu Abdullah al-Hakim, he was suffering from an illness where something on his face that was a constant source of pain and agitation. And, for example, warts or, some kind of tumor. Allahu A'lam what exactly it was, but some growth on his face that was a source of constant pain for him. And he requested many people to make dua for him. And then he decided to, increase in giving sadaqah. So on the door of his house, meaning right by the door of his house, he arranged for water to be given to people for free. So people began accessing that to get water. And what happened? Within a week, his face was healed. So many people will, you know, share your experiences with you, even that, but because of giving sadaqah, their difficulties were made easy. Ibn al-Qayyim said that sadaqah has an amazing effect in removing trials and tribulations. He said, even if a non-believer gives sadaqah, he sees its benefit. And remember, sometimes what we are suffering is a result of our own sins. So in hadith, we learn that secret charity cools the anger of the Lord. Meaning, when we anger Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through what we have said and through what we have done, then when we give sadaqah, then that sadaqah makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleased with us. It removes, it takes that anger away. And remember that sadaqah is something, the reward of which is continuous, and it keeps coming even after we have passed away. So when a person dies, their good deeds come to an end, except for three things, right? And one of them is recurring charity or continuous charity, sadaqatin jariyah. Meaning that you give such a charity that continues to bring benefit to people. So think about what you can give, whether it is to, you know, make a contribution in providing clean water to people, or in providing you know, good education to people, that continues to benefit people in one way or another. You help in building a masjid, you help in sustaining an Islamic organization. You don't know how long lasting the effects will be. You can die tomorrow and the reward will continue to come, inshallah. And this is why we have also been encouraged to give sadaqah on behalf of the deceased. And when we give sadaqah, there are numerous benefits that we can get on the Day of Judgment as well, in the hereafter. And before the Day of Judgment, in the grave itself, we learn that when a person is placed in their grave and the punishment begins to approach them from different sides, then salah is on the side of the head of a person, meaning salah shields a person, shields a person's head. Right? Meaning against the punishment. The fasts of a person shield him from his right side. Zakat shields a person from his left side. And other righteous deeds shield him on the side of his feet. So when you give sadaqah, whether it is that you're giving zakat or voluntary charity, then remember, this is something that will protect you in the grave also. In a hadith, we learn that sadaqah extinguishes the heat of the grave from its people. So when you give sadaqah, you are ensuring that you are protected in the grave. A person will be under the shade of his charity on the Day of Judgment. And the person who gives charity secretly will be under the shade of the throne of Allah Azza wa Jal. So we see that the way of the righteous was, for example, Yazid said that not a day would go by except that Abu al-Khayr would give something in charity. At times, he would give just a piece of sweet bread, or sometimes he would just give an onion even. Allahu Akbar. So you don't just have to give charity to the poor, meaning you don't have to find a person who is really suffering so that you can give them, you know, a lot of financial aid. No. Sadaqah is not just in the form of something extremely valuable. Sadaqah can be anything. The main objective of giving is to remove stinginess. So for example, you're putting two samosas in your plate. Put one, you know, in the plate of your brother, your sister, right? You get the best piece of, you know, meat. But before you put it on your plate, you offer it to someone at the table. Meaning, sadaqah, the whole point of sadaqah is that you give, you remove that stinginess, you show thanks to Allah, and you give of what you love. And sadaqah also erases sins. It leads its people to paradise. We learn that sadaqah extinguishes the fire of sins, just as water extinguishes fire. So sadaqah extinguishes sins just as water extinguishes fire, and it leads its people to paradise. And the reward of sadaqah is written on the gate of paradise also. Now the question is, how can we give sadaqah? What are the different ways of giving sadaqah? First of all, remember that kullu ma'roof in sadaqah, every act of kindness is sadaqah. A good word is a sadaqah. الكلمة الطيبة صدقة. When you say an uplifting word, an encouraging word, that is also a form of charity. Offering any kind of help or assistance is a kind of charity. We learn in the hadith, when you smile in your brother's face, and sometimes literally smiling to your biological brother can be very difficult, especially when he's been annoying you, when he's not been helping you, when he's been, you know, teasing you. So smiling at that time, it can be very difficult, but it's a form of sadaqah. And enjoining what is good is sadaqah. And forbidding what is objectionable is sadaqah. Directing someone who has lost his way, guiding someone who is lost is a form of sadaqah. Helping a man who has bad eyesight, meaning a person, for example, is not able to read, right? Sometimes your own parents have trouble reading what is, you know, written in a text message, or they have trouble reading a font size that is very tiny. That is also a form of sadaqah. Removing stones and thorns and bones from the road is a form of sadaqah. Pouring water from your bucket into your brother's bucket is a form of sadaqah. So increase in giving sadaqah. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu said that one day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that every day sadaqah is due on every limb of the body. So Abu Dharr said, Ya Rasulullah, how can I give sadaqah when I don't even have much wealth? He said, say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, astaghfirullah. These are all forms of sadaqah. To command what is right and forbid what is wrong is sadaqah. And removing thorns and bones and stones from the way of people is sadaqah. Guiding a blind person is sadaqah. Explaining something to a person who is mute or deaf is sadaqah. Yani taking the time to explain things to them. And now, you know, there's sign language. But if you don't know sign language, then it's going to take a while to get the message across, right? That is also a form of sadaqah. You know, making sure that they're part, you know, they're feeling included, they're not being ignored. This is a form of sadaqah. And guiding someone to their destination is a form of sadaqah, right? Removing someone's oppression, right? Helping someone who is asking you for help is a form of sadaqah. Using the strength of your hands to aid a weak person is sadaqah. And anything that you do, any good deed that you do is a form of sadaqah. The Prophet ﷺ included in this list that your being physically intimate with your wife is also a sadaqah, because some men don't care about the sexual needs of their wives. So even fulfilling that is a form of sadaqah. And we learn in another hadith that giving salam, saying salam to others is a form of sadaqah. Giving water to drink to others is a sadaqah. Even if you can just give a sip of water, a little bit of water. The Prophet ﷺ said, do not belittle any good deed, right? And in that same hadith is mentioned, even if you can give someone a rope or a shoelace, Allahu Akbar. And removing someone's loneliness, removing someone's fear is also sadaqah. Sometimes you can sense that, you know, sense of trouble on a person's face, that they're feeling worried, they're feeling lost, they look anxious. Helping them, or you know that someone is living alone, and, you know, calling them, talking to them is also a form of sadaqah. Being kind and friendly and loving and generous with your family members is a form of sadaqah. Helping people at home is a form of sadaqah. Spending on your family is a form of sadaqah. In a hadith, we learned that in fact, it is the best form of sadaqah to spend on your family, on your wife, on your children, on your servant. These are all forms of charity. These are all, you know, spendings for which a person is rewarded. Also, we learn in a hadith that giving water to your wife is sadaqah, meaning when a man gives water to drink to his wife, that is also sadaqah. So one of the narrators of hadith, when he was narrating this, he got up, he went, and he gave water to his wife, because this is an act of sadaqah. Planting a tree is a sadaqah. Giving a loan is a sadaqah. Helping people resolve their conflicts is a sadaqah. And also, protecting people from your harm is also sadaqah. because sometimes it's, you know, difficult to do, to actively do good. But when you restrain yourself, for example, you have the best comeback, but you remain silent, right? You know that you can noisily unload the dishwasher, but you consciously choose to do it quietly. You can make noise at home when people are sleeping. You know, for example, you could be listening to this lecture when people are sleeping and the noise could be bothering them. It could be disturbing their sleep. So you put headphones on, right? So that their sleep is not disturbed. You walk slowly, carefully, so that they're not disturbed. This is also a form of sadaqah. Giving something in the way of Allah is sadaqah, whatever that may be. And giving sadaqah at a time when you're healthy is the best form of sadaqah. And give sadaqah in a way that you remain wealthy afterwards, that you don't become needy yourself. This is also important. Now, there's some etiquette of giving sadaqah. The first etiquette is that you give sadaqah from wealth that you have lawfully earned. Meaning, do not steal from your husband's property in order to give sadaqah. Do not secretly take his credit card and make an online donation only for him to find out later and then he gets annoyed. No, you have to give sadaqah from wealth that is lawfully earned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ. Say that the impure and the pure can never be equal. They can never be equal. They're not the same. Secondly, give purely for the sake of Allah. Give to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And your intention should be to seek the face of Allah. Thirdly, give without riya. Meaning, give in a way that, you know, you're not thinking about, are people watching me? Now, do they know that I'm giving sadaqah? My sadaqah should be known. My charity should be known. No, that should not be the way. Give without riya. Then, number four, after you give, do not do man and adha. Meaning, do not remind people of the favor that you have done them. Do not hurt them now. Because you think that you have a greater status, you know, you have done them a favor, so now you can say anything to them. No, refrain from man and adha. Number five, give happily. When you give something in the way of Allah, as sadaqah, as zakat, give from your heart. Meaning, don't treat it as a burden, as a fine, as a tax. This is an opportunity for you. You know, the righteous, this is their way, that when a poor person shows up, they get delighted that alhamdulillah, someone has come so that we have an opportunity to give. So give happily. Number six, give secretly. Yes, you can give sadaqah openly as well, in a way that people can see you when you're giving sadaqah, but it is better to give sadaqah privately, secretly, in the nighttime. Or when people are not watching you, you know, make a private donation, make a secret donation, you know, online, for example, so that people don't find out about it. And number seven, sometimes give without count also. That, for example, someone is coming, right? They're asking for something. Then don't start counting the samosas that you're putting in the box. Let them take whatever they want. I remember once someone came to my mother, and they needed something for their kitchen, for their house. And my mother literally said to them, come into my kitchen and take whatever that you need. So that person took some dishes, they took some cooking pots, they took some utensils, cutlery, cups, serving dishes. Literally, my mother said to them, come and take whatever you need, whatever you want. She did not say, okay, you can take two cups, you can take three, dishes, you can take one serving dish. She did not specify any number. And this is something that we should also try. Give without count, without putting a limit. And let the person who is in need choose what they want. Open up your closet and let them come and take what they like. Because you see, sometimes we decide what we want to give others. But let other people also decide what they want. We should also ask Allah Azza wa Jal, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda wa-tuqa wal-afafa wal-ghina. That, O Allah, I ask you for guidance. I ask you for piety. I ask you for chastity. And I ask you for ghina, for contentment, for richness of the heart. richness of the heart, that I'm not stingy in giving. I'm not selfish in giving. I don't feel worried when giving. That I am happy to give. I give happily. And after giving, I stay happy. Ya Allah, give me richness of the heart. So practically, what should we do? We should develop the habit of giving sadaqah. Develop the habit of giving regularly, not just in the month of Ramadan, also outside of the month of Ramadan. Spend from what you have earned. Spend from your paycheck. Spend from what you have lawfully acquired. And then whatever resources Allah has given you, use them for good works. Use them to benefit other people. Don't just think about how you can enjoy them for yourself. Also think about how you can bring benefit to others through those things. And give from whatever that Allah has given you. If it's cash, give from that. If it's gold, give from that. If it is clothes, give from that. Give even from your food. The Prophet ﷺ said, none of you Muslim women should consider the sheep's hoof too insignificant a gift to give to her neighbor. Meaning, if that is all you have to give, then give of that. When you're preparing food, increase the volume of that food so that you can share some of it. When you buy groceries, give some of it. And compete in good works. Compete in earning rewards of the hereafter. You know, sometimes we compete with our family, our in-laws, our siblings, our neighbors, that, oh, they got new furniture, we also should buy new furniture. They got, new lawn furniture, we're also going to get it. They got a new shed, we're also going to get it. They got a new car, we're also going to get it. You know, we're constantly competing with other people in worldly things. Let us compete in giving sadaqah. And seek the company of people who give and who encourage you to give. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ كَانَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْمَرْحَمَةِ أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْمَيْمَنَةِ. Who are the people of the right side? Those who are among those people who believe and advise one another to patience and advise one another to compassion. So let us keep the company of people who give and who encourage us to give. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to spend sincerely for His sake, for His approval, in ways that He are pleased with, in causes that He is pleased with. Ameen. Inshallah, we will conclude over here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.